The Youth's Instructor, January 30, 1896. Wise or foolish, which? Conclusion. The disciples of Christ, who were with him from day to day, did not comprehend his mission. They loved him as their teacher, but their minds were clouded so that they did not always discern his divine character. They were unacquainted with his unlimited resources and power. Although they had witnessed his miracles, they did not discern his relationship to the Father. Just before his death, he said to them, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name." In simple language, Jesus explained to them that the secret of their success would be in asking the Father for strength and grace in his name. He would be present before the face of the Father to make request in their behalf, and said further, "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." How important it is that we understand our privileges, that we know that the Holy Spirit will work in our behalf, and that we gladly receive the golden oil from heaven, which is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will communicate his grace to every repenting, believing soul. We need to become better acquainted with the terms upon which salvation will be ours, and better understand the relation which Christ sustains to us and to the Father. He has pledged himself to honor his Son's name as we present it at the throne of grace. We should consider the great sacrifice that was made in our behalf to purchase for us the robe of righteousness, woven in the loom of heaven. He has invited us to the wedding feast and has provided for every one of us the wedding garment. The robe of righteousness has been purchased at infinite cost. And how daring is the insult to heaven when one presents himself as a candidate for entrance at the wedding feast when wearing his own citizen's dress of self-righteousness. How greatly he dishonors God, openly showing contempt for the sacrifice made on Calvary. Of such a one it is written, "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. No one will taste of the marriage supper of the Lamb who has not on a wedding garment." But John writes, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Then, before it is eternally too late, let each one go to the heavenly merchantman for the white raiment, the eye salve, the gold tried in the fire, and the oil of heavenly grace. Let no one put off the day of preparation, lest the call be made, go forth to meet the bridegroom, and you be found as were the foolish virgins, with no oil in your vessels, with your lamps.